his family. Thank you.
Can I get in there?
Sure.
867.
Thank you.
Settled with Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God for His saving grace through His Son Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Let us sing our next song, 186, in our blue hymn book, 186 from the blue hymn book. Let's all stand together if you're physically able to stand with us. 186 as we sing together. And can it be?
Thank you.
second verse. Sing that last verse. What are you thankful about what are you thankful to Jesus about today? About His attributes, about His character, about His love, about something about Christ. This morning's message is about Christ, the Son of God with power. What are you thankful for about Christ? Yes, Karen.
He's always with us no matter what happens in this world. Sometimes we tend to lean on our own understanding of something or what we think something is that really isn't. But no matter what it ends up being, good or bad, the Lord uses it for good, for His good.
Amen.
Which we may not see until later.
That's right. Amen. Trusting Him. Yes, Nancy.
I'm thankful to God for His healing powers. He still has healing powers.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And if you pray and talk to Him and just devote, just give your heart. He's here. He's here to listen. He's here to heal. And I believe that.
Amen. Take that from a lady who just had the surgery on her artery. One artery done and one to go. Clearing the artery in her leg. So keep praying for Nancy.
Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you very much for all your prayers.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What are you thankful for about Christ? Anyone else? Yes.
Thankful for God's saving grace. It's because of His Son and His death on the cross.
Amen.
He shed blood. I've learned about the salvation that is given to me.
Amen. Yeah, Ethan.
I'm thankful for His mercy, not just that He would forgive us of our sins at salvation, but that as Christians, even if we sin, He's still willing to forgive us after that.
Amen. Amen. All right, let us sing this last verse. No condemnation, now I dread. No condemnation, now I dread. let us bow together in prayer. I'm going to ask Pastor Logan, would you please lead us in prayer this morning?
Our Father and our God, we give thank you for this day that you provided for us. We thank you, Father, for watching us last night while we slept and slept, Lord. We thank you for watching our nation.
Amen.
For watching our loved ones, Lord. And we just thank you for waking up this morning.
Amen.
What a blessing it was to wake up to a brand new day, Lord. You said this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad therein.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for this church. We thank you for our family. We thank you for all that they stand for, Lord. We thank you for what the church stands for. We thank you for our nation, for our leaders and authority, Lord. We thank you for being here this morning. Pray that you might continue to lead, direct, and have your own way in our hearts and our lives. We pray, Father, for those that would love to be here, but because of conditions perhaps beyond our control, not able to be here this morning. We thank you for them. We pray for them. We pray special blessings, continue special blessings on Brother Roy, Lord. We haven't seen him this morning. We just pray that you might continue to bless this man, Lord, and heal him of all that's going on with him, Lord. We thank you for being able to see Hazel this morning, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you that she's coming along, Lord, and thank you for continuing to pray that you might continue to work with her, Lord, that healing might take place, continue to take place in her body, Lord. We thank you for Trisha, Father, and thank you for seeing her son today, Lord. We pray for her husband, Lord, continue to bless, lead the rest. We pray for all of them standing in need of our blessing, continue to bless. Service this morning, have your way, Father. May the Holy Spirit have complete control, Lord. Lead and direct. Have your way in our hearts and lives, and we continue to give you glory, praise, and honor. We thank you for our nation. We pray for the nation of Israel. We pray for peace in Jerusalem, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray, and all God's people say,
amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let us sing another song, 383, as we worship the Lord this morning. 383. No, not one. There's not a friend like the Lord. There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. God has been healed all our souls in Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide when the day is done. Girls on the second. Time we'll have our usher, or actually we'll have our deacon, one of our deacons come. We have an applicant for membership this morning, our intern who's going to be with us this summer, and we want to hear his testimony so that we can officially recognize him as a member of Northfield Baptist Church. Brother Hodge or Brother John?
We have met with Brother Bell, Brother Pastor Rice, and myself, and John, and have had an interview with him, and we'd like to recommend him to the church. But before we do, we'd like to ask and give his testimony as to how many was saved.
Whenever I was younger, I don't remember how old I was homeschooled, and my mom was doing morning devotions with us, and at the end of the devotions, I don't remember much, but I made a profession of faith, but I couldn't really remember any of that, so I doubted my salvation because I don't think I really got saved that day. So years later, after doubting my salvation for years, I went to Wednesday night service like usual. And my youth pastor, Pastor David Smith, was preaching on hell. It was a very long service for me because it was very convicting. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I was a sinner. I raised my hand at the end of the message. And he took me to another classroom and showed me some verses. I already knew the verses. I don't remember the exact ones, but it was like Romans 3:23. And I believed I was a sinner that day. Mm-hmm. And trusted in Jesus Christ to be my Savior. A few weeks later, I was baptized, end of October, beginning of November. I was saved October 10th, and a few weeks later, baptized. I went to school at Florida's Bible Institute for my freshman year. Just finished up my sophomore year at New England Baptist College, and I'm glad to be here and learn from Pastor Rice and from everyone here about more about the ministry.
All right. Amen. All right. Any questions? Okay, then we would like to recommend Brother Bell to this church for membership, and that requires two hands for membership for motion. Okay, we have Patty Foss and Carol, Karen. Mm-hmm. All right, all those in favor, can you indicate by lifting up your right hand? Hold for seconds or 2 seconds, check. Okay, look at if we have a unanimous decision. What about? Welcome to a church.
Amen. Praise the
Lord. We would like to have any question. You might want to have some encouragement for that. You to us and to our church. And we'd like to give a word of encouragement. Anyone?
I say congratulations and welcome. I hope you can help this summer.
Okay. Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Let it go strictly. Anyone else? Pastor, you have any words?
Yes, I'm thankful for getting to know Brother Matthias. Ethan was our Bible quiz champion when Ethan was in high school. After Ethan left, Matthias was the one who kind of carried his team, which was Community Baptist Church Quakertown, to victory in the Bible quiz tournaments. I think recently, so we have another Bible scholar in our midst with Brother Matthias, and don't let his, you know, his quiet, humble demeanor fool you. He is well versed in the scriptures, and looking forward to having Brother Matthias serve here this summer. And he already jumped in with both feet teaching the teen Sunday school class this morning. So thank you, Brother Matthias, and we look forward to working with you this summer, teaching you the. I look forward to teaching you the pastoral role as the Lord continues to work. Why don't you share with them what happened in college? You were praying and how the Lord led you here to Northfield Baptist.
Last summer I worked at the Bellwright Ranch as a counselor. I was wanting to do that again, but the Lord closed the doors there. So the week before I got the intern, I had talked to people at the ranch and told them I wouldn't be able to come. And we have 3 chapel messages a week at school. And Pastor Lejeune came in and was preaching. And the Lord already worked in my heart this past year that I need to have a better walk with him in my personal devotion life. And Pastor Lejeune was preaching on proper prayer life. And so that's something I've been working on. And so that night I went through and I made a list of specific things that I needed to pray for and prayer requests. And 2 of those things was an opportunity to serve in church or a ministry of some sort. And also I needed a job. So I was praying about that, and within 2 days I had an intern. My life verse, Jeremiah 33:3, it says, pray unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. And so I was praying about that. The following day I was at work. I worked at a school, and I saw something about an intern out of the corner of my eye. I saw Pastor Rice's name, and it was New Jersey. I wasn't sure if it was St. Lawn. I figured it was. So I called my mom and sister. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. Mm-hmm. So I went down later on, and it was. And so I called him up and talked to him. And it was neat that whenever I specifically prayed for something, the Lord gave it to me within 2 days. I also teach a small Sunday school class down there, and I was teaching on prayer that week, and I found a verse for that. It was Ephesians 4:20 or 3:20. It says, "He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think." Mm-hmm. It's really neat because he did that. I wasn't praying for an internship. I was praying for a job and an opportunity to serve. And within 2 days, I got something exceedingly abundantly above what I asked.
God is good. Well, welcome, Brother Craig. Thank you for having me this All right. At this time, we'll turn to our Bibles for our scripture reading this morning as we continue our reading through the Psalms. Psalms is the corporate worship book of songs and prayers and great emotions. So Psalms 38 is where we are this morning. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 38, and we'll have Brother Watkins, would you come and read for us the first 11 verses of Psalm 38.
Yeah, Psalm 38, we'll begin with some prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we're able to read that in our native tongue, Lord. We pray that as we read this passage, Lord, that your spirit will guide and direct us to speak to our hearts, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we'll read this responsively. I'll start with the first one, and then you'll read and so on and so forth. A Psalm of David to bring to remembrance. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure.
For thy arrow is steadfast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore.
There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin.
For mine iniquities are gone over my head, as a heavy burden are too heavy for me.
My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness.
I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly, I go mourning all the day long.
For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh.
I am feeble and sore broken, I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart.
Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee.
My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me.
And together, my lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. May God bless the reading of His Word. Pastor Rice.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
We just want to recognize our visitors here with us today and also pass out our bulletins. It's a blessing to be together worshiping the Lord this morning. If you need a bulletin, raise your hand. We'll be happy to get one to you. We have our ushers coming around. Just keep your hands up and they will get one to you. It's good to have some visitors with us today. I want to welcome Hazel back with us. Welcome back, Hazel, from your injury. And, you know, a wedding is not something to go to and hurt yourself. But but we are thankful that God is mending you. And so we praise the Lord. We were very concerned when we first heard through the prayer chain that you had broken your foot. And so we're glad that God is healing you so well. And thankful also for your daughter, Jody, bringing you out to church today. Thank you, Jody. And the Lord will bless you richly for it. And so we're thankful for Sister Hazel being back with us. Then on this side, it's good to have Jim and Lisa with us. Jim Giuliano from Egg Harbor Township. Welcome, Jim and Lisa. And I've had the privilege of getting to know them both here the last few weeks. And thankful for them. And Jim has been saved since 1999, correct? And he knows Brother Ernie Altamari. Brother Ernie and his son, Stephen, will be here later this summer. They'll be helping us with the Dean Burgon Society meetings in July 25th, 26th. So right here at our church, we'll be having pastors and missionaries from all over the world speaking on the topic of why we have the preserved Word of God in the English language in our hands, the King James Version, and just the superiority of it, and the fact that it is the Word of God, and just tremendous messages. That'll be a Wednesday and a Thursday, more, all day. There's a break for lunch for 2 hours and a break for dinner of 2 hours, but starting at, I believe, 9 o'clock through 9 o'clock at night. And I encourage you to come to these special days with us. They will greatly challenge your heart and edify us in the Word of God as God's shining light, as the lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. So I encourage you to come out later this summer, July 5th and 25th and 26th for the Dean Burgon Society meetings here at our church. So we're glad to have Jim and Lisa, and we have a visitor's card. If you don't mind filling that out as a record of your visit here with us today and putting that in the offering plate as it comes around. Then our other things this week, be in prayer for Vacation Bible Time. We do have a VBT volunteer planning meeting at the end of the service today. We don't usually have meetings right after church, but today we do just to help plan for who's teaching the Bible lessons and who's doing the snacks and who's doing helping with the fair and that kind of thing. So if you can please stay with us today so we can plan and start organizing. We do have a sign-up list for VBT there at the back, so if we could send that around, that way if you are interested in helping, if you can come to the days are June 26th through the 30th. It's a Monday through Friday. The end of June, it's a Tuesday through a Saturday, and it's from 9 in the morning to 12 noon every day, Tuesday through Saturday. So if you can come and help us, we could use the help, helping to register the sign up the kids, give them the form to fill out, write their name on their book, and give them their little worksheet. And there's many different things. We have a craft table. We need someone to help with the crafts this year. Some things at the end, we'll have the fair, and we'll need some helpers with snacks and things. So if you can help us with any of these things, it would be a great blessing. And to help us to get an idea of what that's about, John, I have on the computer there the video from last year. If we can show, we'll show part of this video from last year, so you can see a little bit more of what VBT is all about. And so we'll go ahead and start that. I think if you press this button up here, that should start up. About that. We're going to hand out the calendar. This is to host Brother Matthias for the summer. If you'd like to sign up for a night of dinner with him, you could just pass it back there. If you'd like to host him for dinner at your house or at a restaurant or here at the church, any one of these nights through the summer, we want him to get to know everybody. And even if you're new to the church, we'd love to have you get to know him and our church better through having him, hosting him. So please sign up on the calendar as it comes around for a night that works for you with his schedule there. And I look forward to having him get to know all of us well this summer. Just by way of a VBT announcements, we'll be having that planning meeting right after church. And praise the Lord, we have a lot of fruit from last year. I looked at last year's stats. I think we had 13 professions of faith last year in Christ. You saw three of them up there. The two, Zion was sharing her testimony. Or was it Zamora? Was Zamora? Were you in the video? Zamora did it. Okay, so Zamora was sharing her testimony. And so she was one of the ones that got saved, and her brothers and sisters. And so we're thankful for the spiritual fruit from last summer, and we want to keep that going this summer as well. And praise the Lord, Dominique got saved last summer in the parking lot with Brother Hodge. So we praise the Lord for the tremendous spiritual fruit from last summer. We want to keep that going, so please stay with us right after church this morning for that planning meeting. Then this Saturday, we will be going out blitzing for VBT, handing out the flyers and handing out salvation packets for people here in the neighborhood. So come on out this Saturday, 10 a.m., to help us invite people for VBT as well as invite people to Christ so they can get saved and come to know the joy of the Lord in their life. So come on out this Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Then tonight, Brother Ethan is preaching for us at our 7 o'clock p.m. service tonight from 7 to 8, 10. And then afterward, we'll have a food fellowship. So bring a food item with you. We'd love to have you back tonight as we hear from Brother Ethan. Then Julia Rivera is graduating high school, and next Sunday, Jeff and Therese will be hosting lunch for us in the fellowship hall next door. So invite any and everyone to stay with us next Sunday for lunch after the morning worship service. And if you want to bring a gift for Julia, that would be a great way that we can express our appreciation for Jeff and Therese hosting us for lunch in Julia's honor. So that'll be next Sunday, right after the morning service. Then Brother Travis Foster will be coming June 13th. He will be helping us with soul winning clinics, how to win souls on Wednesday night. We'll have a time of specific prayer, and he'll teach a class on winning souls. And then Thursday night, Friday night, we'll go into our neighborhood here, go to Walmart, go to other places, and hand out tracts and tell people about Jesus, what Jesus has done for us. A great way to rub shoulders with people and invite them to church. Then Saturday night of that week, we'll do that Thursday night, Friday night. Then Saturday night, we're going to have a time of food and a gospel presentation Saturday evening, about 6:30 to 7:30, as a way to get them in, to get them saved, and then we can then have them back Sunday for church. So, and then Father's Day is that next Sunday, June 17th. So all men, invite some people in your lives, or ladies, invite your dad if he's still with us, or bring a special man in your life to come to church for Father's Day. We have special gifts for each man that comes. At this time, we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this morning of our tithes and offerings to God. And God says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, and see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God wants us to give to Him, and then He will give right back to us and more of our tithes and offerings. See, you give 10%, 12% to God, He'll give you more than that back, because that's who our God is. Our God is the great giver of all things. He's given us 100% of what we have, and God will bless you in your life. Let us bow together in prayer at this time.
Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we have to give back to you. Father, I pray for your blessing upon the gift and upon the giver. And Lord, I pray you be with Pastor as he preaches this morning. I pray you fill him with your spirit and give him the words that we need to hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Turn back into our hymn books tonight, this morning. 371 in the Majesty hymn book, 371 in the red hymn book there in front of you, as we sing one more song of worship to the Lord before our special music this morning. Let's all stand together as we sing. 371 in the red book there in front of you, the Majesty hymn book.
Set my heart, O dear Father, on Thee and Thee only. Tear me others for Thy presence divine. For Thee, my broken.
words. Father, fill with thy spirit and every poor servant. Let the Lord Christ every motive instruct. Teach me to follow in selfless submission. Be thou my joy and my soul my desire. Your prayer. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This time we'll have Brother Ethan come as we have our special music before we dismiss our young people for youth church, toddler church, and nursery. As we dismiss our young people, those sixth grade and younger are welcome to go back for their special time. Youth church, toddler church, and nursery. Romans chapter 1 this morning. Romans chapter 1. As we look into the Word of God, what a tremendous blessing it is to know. What a tremendous blessing it is to know that Jesus cares for us. That's the theme of this morning's message, is pretty much summed up in that song, Give Me Jesus. If we will just yearn and have a passion and plead for Jesus to come near to us in our life, guess what? Everything else in life will all work out. Everything else in life, even though there's going to be the ups and downs, even though there's going to be the trials and the struggles and the problems and occasionally the passing of our loved ones, we, with Jesus there close to us, life will all work out because He will make it to work. What happens is when we get disconnected from Christ, that's when we're still going through all the turbulence, only we don't have our steadfast anchor and rock of our life, and that is Jesus. Romans chapter 1, this morning, as we look at this passage, we'll see Christ as our foremost, as who should be our, the one that we put on the throne. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to look into Your Word this morning. We thank You for the tremendous time we've had already, praising You in song and in seeing the VBT video from last year of the children trusting Christ as Savior, teenagers trusting Christ as Savior, adults trusting Christ as Savior last summer through our Vacation Bible Time ministry. Lord, what a great blessing it is to now come into this time of year again to see the tremendous potential that each one of us has to affect someone for Jesus this summer. Lord, we pray that You would bring people to us, that we might share with them our hope in Jesus, that they might come to know Jesus as their Savior as well, to escape hell and the burning fire and the furnace of fire, as Jesus said, for all eternity, and the outer darkness and the gnashing of teeth. Lord, we pray that You'd give us a burden for souls this summer. Lord, that we might have compassion on them as Your Son Jesus looked on the people and had compassion on them as sheep without a shepherd. Lord, they need Jesus as their shepherd. Fill me with Thy Spirit this morning that I may speak forth Thy truth. And fill each one of us with Your Spirit that we may be Spirit-filled Christians this morning. And if there's anything in our life that's keeping us from Your filling, Lord, I pray You'd bring it to our mind and our attention this morning that we may confess and forsake it. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 1, Paul, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have a tremendous opening of this most important gospel of Romans. Now it's been said by many Bible preachers and commentators that Romans is the pinnacle of systematic theology in Paul's epistles. That a tremendous literary masterpiece we hold in our hands in the Word of God, and especially in the book of Romans, as Paul methodically and systematically lays out the important things in life, which is our relationship with Christ, then sin, then our depravity, then salvation, and then growth and sanctification in Christ is all laid out for us very well in Romans. And so this is a tremendous work. And you say, well, why did Paul write this epistle to the Romans? Rome is described like this: a throbbing, churning mass of 2 million people crowd within the circumference a little more than 12 miles. Though small, this world capital possesses political strength and power unmatched throughout the globe. Her judicial system is a pattern for other countries, and her great military is the wonder of the world. The people appreciate exquisite fine arts and intellectual pursuits. The political leaders enjoy elaborate dinner parties and are known for their frequent sexual indiscretions. This great world capital has no conscience, despite the aspirations and efforts of some people who live there. In fact, one reporter describes the chief city as a place where flow all things that are vile and abominable, and where they are encouraged. An appalling lack of concern and help for the poor and homeless reveal the live for today, me first mentality among its citizens. Gambling is popular and abortion is common. Sexual activity is high, both heterosexual and homosexual. Divorce has reached epidemic proportions. A number of true Christians live within this metropolis. They meet regularly in various homes. You say, wow, that sounds a lot like our cities today. Sounds like Atlantic City. Sounds like Atlantic County.
Yeah.
Well, that was Rome 2,000 years ago when Paul wrote this epistle. Have things changed very much? Not at all. The same things that you and I struggle with, and that the world, the sins that the world is foisting upon Christians, the same things that was doing 2,000 years ago. And so what we have today is, in the world today, we have the same Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who can meet all of our needs and help us through all of our problems. Well, here we see in Rome, the only hope for the Romans is Jesus. Here Paul had not yet visited Rome. You say, how did he write to the Romans? Was he there? No, he wasn't there yet. In fact, he didn't go to Rome until the very end of his life. Do you remember? He was sentenced to go to Rome because he appealed to Caesar. And so the very end of his life, the last 2 years of his life, he was under house arrest there in Rome. And he was able to preach freely the gospel. But this book was written about 15 years before that. So Paul had not gone to Rome yet, and actually about 10 years before that. He had not gone to Rome yet, so he's actually writing to a group of Christians who got saved through probably the ones he led to Christ, and then having their interactions, and then going to, the famous city where they were employed. So Paul, they had all heard about Paul, probably through all the converts that led them to Christ, and they were now thronging for Paul to visit them. So now Paul is writing this tremendous epistle to them of what they need to know in life and godliness. Isn't it wonderful? So we are now the beneficiaries of Paul's burden for people he had not met yet, and a city he had not been there to yet, and a city which he heard much about. And so, what a tremendous masterpiece that God has given to us in the book of Romans, all because of a man who had a burden for people he didn't know yet. This is a tremendous, important thing that we need to look at today. Today's topic of importance, if you take nothing else from the message or nothing else from the service today, if you can take this, Christ's power to make us obedient encouragers of the brethren. Amen. We have a very important job to do, of course, of reaching the lost, but we have also equally important task, and that is encouraging the brethren. We need to encourage one another in the Lord because this is our job as Christians. Here we see in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Notice here that Paul opens not with saying, I am the esteemed Paul. You all know me because I'm that great apostle of, giving so much to Christianity. No, Paul could have opened like that, but he didn't. He said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. What a tremendous lesson for us that we are the greatest position that we can be in all of life is to be a servant of Jesus Christ. A servant means to help in any area where needed. Now, if you have an NIV or an ESV, I was doing some comparing of the translations. You will find Paul a slave of Jesus Christ in the new versions. Is that really accurate? Is that really accurate? It's not accurate because the word is not slave, the word is doulos or servant. Okay, so the new versions, what they try to do is, through satanic deception, they try to make believers feel inferior, The new versions also denigrate Jesus Christ or degrade him from being who he is, the Son of God with power, to being less than the Son of God, less than God himself. So that's why we use the King James Version here. We're not slaves, you know. Did we get forced to come to church by God this morning? Did he have you at the end of a cattle prod where you know, if you didn't come to church, you were in trouble, you know? No, we all came here this morning of our own free will, or perhaps some encouragement from someone in our family, you know? And that's important, too. We need to encourage, just like we are learning about this morning, we need to encourage one another. But we are not slaves of Jesus Christ. We are servants of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So the new versions have it wrong, and they have it wrong in many other places, by the way, as well. If you look, there's many verses taken out of the new versions. So that's why we use the King James here at Northfield Baptist. But here, we're not slaves, we are servants. Now, we want to become anything that God wants us to be. And so we can become a bond slave of Jesus Christ by saying, you know, I love you so much, I want to be to do whatever you want me to do. But we are called servants by Christ himself. And here we have Paul is called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Here, Paul is saying, I am an apostle. I've seen the Lord, and the Lord has now chosen me and sent me to be his ambassador. That Paul was an apostle. When did the apostleship pass off the scene? Does anybody know? When did the apostleship stop happening?
The last apostle.
The last apostle, okay? When Paul died, or when John, who wrote Revelation, when he died and passed off the scene, guess what? He was the last apostle. So if someone comes up to you today and says, hey, I'm Apostle so-and-so, nice to meet you, you can say, oh, right, okay, not according to the Bible, you're not, you know. And people like to give themselves titles. Clergy love to give themselves titles. I'm Reverend so-and-so. Oh, are you, you're more holy than everyone else? Is that why you call yourself Reverend? No. You know, these are all man-made titles. The only Reverend one in the Scriptures is God himself. Okay? So man likes to give himself titles that are not his to take. Okay? So that's why we need to come back to the Bible. And so we keep ourselves humble by coming back to the book. Because God's word doesn't say we're great in our own eyes. Instead, we are called servants. And the Lord can then exalt us to a position of greatness as we stay humble for him. Okay, so here Paul announces his apostleship. Why did he say that? Because here the Romans, there were many of them that heard of him, but they didn't know he was an apostle. Okay, so it's kind of for his, to let them know this is an epistle, this is God's word, and I am his apostle giving you this epistle. Okay, so there they knew his credentials. Verse 3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Jesus is God's son. There is no doubt about that. Paul says he is the son of God, and he is also the son of man. He came from the line of David. He came from Mary's line. And so he is a true descendant of David, and so he has the right to be king, and King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, or dunamis, dynamite, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Aren't you glad that he is the Son of God with power?
Amen.
See, the world worships deities which are fake and false, right? They worship things, you know. Someone just gave me this cell phone, by the way, so if anyone's missing their cell phone. But you know what a lot of people worship today? They worship the little device like this. They worship this. Why? You say, how do they worship that? Well, they spend all their time, energy, and a focus and attention on a little gadget that connects them to a world called the internet, and they just love to just spend all their time on this. Okay, so this is an idol to many people today. This is an idol. Then where are they? They're not in church. What are they doing? Well, they're on the internet. or they're at the beach, or they're at the car show, or they're working. You know, what is their idol if they're working? Well, their idol is money. They're trying to make another buck. Okay, instead of giving the Lord His day. Okay, so there are so many idols out there that people worship, but there was only one true God, and His name is Jesus. He is the Son of God with power. That we don't just worship someone who can make our life a little better. No, we worship the Son of God with power who changed our life. He took us from the sin and the depravity that we were in, the wickedness that we were involved in our mind, in our heart, in our thoughts, and all the different sins we were involved in, and He forgave us of all those things. Amen. And He set us apart to be called His child. That John 1:12, it says that He gave us power to become the sons of God.
Amen.
What a tremendous thing. That if we have received Christ as our Savior, He gave us that power to become the sons or daughters of God. And Jesus said in Hebrews chapter 6, He said that ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty, if ye touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Separate yourselves to Jesus, and Jesus says, ye shall be my sons and daughters. That Jesus wants us closely for Himself. He wants that fellowship every day. He yearns for it. He desires it. He tells us that He is jealous over us with a godly jealousy. Jesus values our time in prayer and our time in His Word as we read what His plans are for us today. You say, you know, God has plans for me today. Yes, He does. It's right here in the Scriptures. If we will read the Word of God and abide by these precepts and principles, He will literally order out our day for us. He will make it go well if we will obey the principles and precepts of His Word. And then as we pray to Him and say, Lord, I have this need. Will you please do a mighty work here? And as we give Him our problems and He takes them, and you know what He does? He reworks them and He orders our steps and He makes everything work out. How is that possible? Because He is the Son of God with power. See, we don't worship a cell phone. We don't worship things that other people worship. And then when everything collapses for them, when everything goes bad and a loved one dies, when they're at their very lowest, they don't know where to turn and they just are so grief-stricken. And they say, oh, if only so-and-so were back in my life, then my life would be okay again. But the reality is even if so-and-so were back in their life, life would be okay again. They're still lost in their sins, without a Savior, headed for an eternal hell of flame and fire, and they're not okay. So the unsaved world does not know who Jesus is yet. Our job is to be His ambassador, to separate ourselves, just like Paul did, to separate himself unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is our most important job that we have, is to give the gospel out to lost people. Verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. God wants us to obey the calling that He's putting within us, you know. And I'm not just speaking new things to you this morning, you know. You feel it inside. The Holy Spirit is beating within you, and He's saying to you, yes, you need to be separated to the gospel. Yes, you need to tell your neighbor about Christ. Yes, you need to tell your family member about Jesus. Yes, what the preacher is saying is true. You need to tell them about Christ before it's too late for them. See, the Holy Spirit is working in our heart in these areas. And we need to not be disobedient. You know, the tendency is as Christians to be lazy. And to say, I've got too many things on my plate. I've got this to do, I've got that to do, I've got this to do, I've got these plans that I'm making. And we get lazy and we become disobedient to the gospel. Disobedient to be set apart for the gospel. But you will not have joy if you do that. And secondly, we lose out on two things. When we are not obedient to Christ in giving out the gospel, we lose out on joy, and we lose out on power. We wonder why no one listens to us. We wonder why no one follows our example. We wonder why no one really cares what we have to say. Well, it's because we don't have the power of God in our life. Because we are forfeiting His best for our own way. Okay? So we need Christ's power in our life, and that can only come as we obey Him in giving the gospel to the nations for His name's sake. What's at stake if we don't give the gospel to our loved ones? What's at stake is God's glory. They will never know God's glory in their life. They will never get to know the joy of heaven, the streets of gold, the pearly gates. They'll never get to see the Old Testament, New Testament Bible heroes of the faith and heroines of the faith. They'll never get to see Jesus on His throne, God the Father on His throne. They'll never know the Holy Spirit's presence and peace in their life. And God's glory gets diminished in their life because we have not done our job to be a servant. So let us let Christ do His work in our life. Let's have that passion for Christ again by saying, Lord, I've let some sins creep in. I don't want those sins anymore. I want Jesus to have first place. Verse 6, among whom ye are also the called of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. You've been called by Jesus. You have received that call. He has sought you out. And He's found you, and He's called your name, and He says, come, my child, now you are my child. Come, follow after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come, my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, Jesus is calling us every day. Aren't you glad that we are the called of Jesus Christ? So many people woke up this morning, they didn't hear any call. They all they heard was the call to get saved, the call of creation to see that there is a God. All they heard was the general call of God to turn from their sins, but they didn't hear the call of a son or daughter. My child, I love you. My child, come to church, worship me. My child, read my word today, pray to me. Look, my child, I want to hear from you. They didn't hear that calling today. Why? Because they're not His child yet. Aren't you glad that you are God's child this morning? Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So here he lists them out and he says, hey, all you Christians who I've never met yet, you are beloved of God. I don't know you yet, but I know God knows you. And He loves you very much. See, an unsaved person is loved of God, because God doesn't want them to die in hell for all eternity. But He especially beloves His children. You have a special place in the heart of God this morning. Why do you have a special place? Because you are God's child. And so, just like I woke up this morning and there's five very special children in my life and who I love and take a special interest in, and I wake them up in the morning and I say, hey kids, it's time for Sunday school, and I kiss them and I hug them and I get them what they need, their breakfast, and I have a special interest in those children. And you know what? If my littlest one comes up to me and says, Daddy, Daddy, I want a hug, and she holds up her hands, guess what I'll do? I won't do this. No, 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 I don't want to hug you today. No, remember, I love every child in the whole world just like you. I don't have time for you to... No, I don't do that. I say, oh, Abby, come. And I take her up in my arms and I hug her and I kiss her and I swing her around and I tickle her and I love on her. That's the same kind of relationship that Jesus has with you. He loves you so specially. You are His beloved. He longs to take you up in His arms and carry you through trials and tribulations and problems. But how many times we say, Lord, I'm too busy today. Don't pick me up today. No, Lord, I don't have time for this. No, no. I can't come to church today because I have this going on. And he's sad. He's grieved. It saddens the heart of Christ. when we don't love Him like He loves us. We are called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. You have been called to be holy ones or saints. Notice, all of us are saints. If you're saved this morning, you're a saint. You say, well, how am I a saint? I didn't do anything special. Yes, you did. You trusted Christ as your Savior. That's what makes you and I saints. If we were to have only churches or people that organizations that call themselves churches canonize saints, and they're the only ones who are true saints, if you've done something very special and you've been famous, and then after you're dead, you'll become a saint. Well, guess what? That's not in the Bible. Notice, you'll see here, if you've trusted Christ as Savior, you have been called to be saints.
Amen.
You are a saint. That means you're a holy one. You're set apart unto God. And God gives His grace to us. Verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul says it's a privilege to serve God with you. I don't even know you yet, but it's a privilege to serve God with you because I've heard so much about you. That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Here we see, these are some things that we often neglect to do as Christians. This is important to do all the time. This is important that we need to encourage the brethren. Number one, we need to thank them by name. We need to thank them. Say, hey, you know, I appreciate you, brother so-and-so. Hey, I appreciate you, sister so-and-so. You being in church today is a blessing to me. And I appreciate what you do for God. I appreciate that you've been saved for this many years. I appreciate that you're trying to walk with God. You know what? I really am blessed by you. You know, how often do we hear that from somebody? You know? We need to share that with other Christians more often. You know, instead, it's the tendency is only when there's a problem. Well, you know, so you weren't very nice to me. I'm not encouraged by you today. You know, how is it that people only know that they're appreciated after a problem? You know, we need to thank God for each other all the time. We need to appreciate each other all the time. It is a privilege to serve God together here at Northfield Baptist Church. And we want you to be a part of us. We want you to serve God with us. Why? Because so that we can gain heavenly blessings together. God wants us to gain the heavenly blessings. Number two, to pray for people. Notice Paul says, without ceasing I have prayed for you. Pray for each other. It's so important to pray for each other every day. To say, Lord, bless so-and-so. Bless this family. Bless that person. Help them with what they're going through. It's important to pray for one another. Why? Because it shows that we care and God wants us to. Do a prayer activity chart. You know, every day of the week you can pray through. You know, Monday you can pray for government leaders and for Israel. Tuesday you can pray for your family and everyone in your family to get saved and those who are saved to grow in the Lord. Wednesday you can pray for your coworkers. Thursday you can pray for this group and so you can put it out like that in the week, and so that way you can pray for all through your prayer list. That here we need to pray for everyone. Verse 10, making request if by any means now at length I may have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. That is, they may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Here, the third important thing, how we encourage people, we say, Pastor, I do the first one. I thank people. I thank fellow believers. And I pray for them. Well, when was the last time you visited them? Visit fellow believers. It's important to show our love for one another by visiting them. Here, Paul is saying, I want to visit you. I'm going to come to see you because I've heard about you and I want to get to know you better. Well, here Paul was, and sure enough, he did end up visiting the churches, the church at Rome there, and the many different churches that were all scattered throughout the city. He got to meet them, greet them, and they were able to come to him. Mm-hmm. Paul was able to visit them. Why? Because he wanted to impart into them some spiritual gift. He wanted to edify them by using his spiritual gift to help them. You know, that you and I have been given a spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit. That we have one of the gifts in the scriptures. In Romans 12, there's seven gifts laid out. There's the gift of teaching, the gift of service, working with your hands. You like to do things for people. There's the gift of prophecy. You like to speak to people. You know, you're not shy. It's not a shy bone. You like to just speak forth the truth to people. That's the gift of prophecy. Then there's the gift of giving. You like to give to people's needs or help them in some way. Then there's the gift of mercy, which is a gift of love and emotion. And just you're drawn to people's needs to encourage them in mercy. Then there's the gift of organization or ruling. You like to get jobs done, and you can help the church by getting jobs done, or you help people by getting jobs done. Well, that's the gift of organization. And then there's the gift of exhortation, which is the gift of encouragement and rebuke. That an exhorter is one who says, hey, you know, tell me about your problems. And they you listen to their problem, and then they tell you the solution, how you can get out of your problem, how you can fix it, and they encourage you in that. So we all have a gift to impart to other believers to help them in their Christian walk. Are you using your gift today? Are you using your gift in the church for God's glory? Are you using it? The first place that we need to use it is on Sunday, the first day of the week, in church. And then we can make money then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday with our gift for our family. But the first and most important place to use our spiritual gift is at church. Are you using your gift for the encouragement of others at church? Are you using it in the community? Are you using it with your family? Well, here Paul says, I want to use my gift to encourage you and to build you up in the faith. And what a great desire he had. That God wants us to help one another with what we're going through. As we close, we have to decide this morning. So basically, it comes down to a decision this morning. Am I going to please God in my life? Am I going to put Christ first? Or am I going to put myself first in my life? We have the decision to make. Either there's two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. And you know what? We have to please just one. We can't please both. Do you remember the famous Aesop fable? Aesop told the story of an old man and his son who were bringing a donkey to market. Passing some people on the way, they heard a remark, "Look at that silly pair walking when they could be riding comfortably." The idea seemed sensible, so the old man and the boy mounted the donkey and continued on their way. Soon they passed another group. "Look at that lazy pair," said the voice, "breaking the back of that poor donkey." The old man then slid off, but then they soon heard another criticism from a passerby. "What a terrible thing, the old man walking while the boy rides." They changed places, but soon heard people whispering, "What a terrible thing, the big strong man riding and making the little boy walk." The old man and the boy pondered the situation and finally continued their journey in yet another manner, carrying the donkey on a pole between them. As they crossed the bridge, the donkey broke loose, fell into the river, and drowned. Aesop's moral: you simply cannot please everyone. How many times we try to do that in our Christian life? We try to please everyone in our family, everyone in our neighborhood, everyone at work, and meanwhile, all the while, Christ is the one that's not pleased because we have not put Him first, and we are dishonoring His name by the way we live. Let us instead turn that around, put Christ at the top, and then, sure enough, everything else will fall into place. Everyone won't be happy because we can't please everyone, but we will be pleasing Christ, and that is the most important. It is true, I have learned that you simply cannot please everyone. It is also impossible always to be politically correct. Why? Because sometimes it is best to be politically incorrect. Also, what pleases some this week may not please them next week. Once a pastor and deacons all jumped into a car. It was the first time that they had all been in one accord. It could be said, where two or three are gathered together, there will be disagreements. A wife said to her husband, "That is my view. Now let me give you yours." Okay, a wife telling her husband what the view, her view, what his view is. Folks, I have learned that you cannot please everyone, but you can please God. So let us please God this morning. Let us please Christ in our life. As we close this service, I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed. As we think on these things this morning, you say, "Pastor, you know, I'm not sure 100%. If I were to die today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or to hell. But I would like to know." If there's anyone like that, you say, "Pastor, pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I am a child of God. But I would like to know this morning." If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. As a Christian, you say, "Pastor, I'm saved already. But I realize the Lord is calling me to a closer relationship with Him. To that closer communion that I long for and I want. And I realize that I need this morning." If that's you, just slip up your hand by quickly, quietly, right there where you see you. Say, "Pastor, pray for me. I want to have a closer walk with Christ. And I realize it means confessing and forsaking sin in my life." If that's you, just slip up your hand. Amen. Amen. I see those hands. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to look into Your Word. We pray You'd speak to our hearts, even now at this invitation, communion time. Help us to draw closer to You in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to have our deacons come as we close this service with communion. We do this once a month on the first Sunday of every month. We close the service with a time of the Lord's Supper table. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1 is where we read of the Lord's Supper table. Now, some churches do it every week and it just becomes a ritual. Of course, they add things to the Bible as well, such as the wafer being the actual body and blood of Christ. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that the unleavened bread has become the body and blood of Christ. Jesus already died once and for all 2,000 years ago at the cross of Calvary. So he would never be re-crucified. Why? Because He only had to do it one time. Because He is our sufficient Savior. And so here this is a table of remembrance. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" 1 Corinthians 11, 25. "For after the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" So here Jesus says the points of the Last Supper is to remember His broken body and shed blood for us. The Last Supper was not just another meal for the disciples, but it was literally the Last Supper before Jesus was going to die on the cross. And He was showing His disciples that it's going to cost me everything to give my life for you and for all the world to be saved. It's going to cost me everything. And it's a very expensive gift that Jesus gave. He gave everything. He gave His body to be broken. And they beat Him so many times that literally His skin was broken all over the place. His skin was so broken that blood was just coming out all over from His head, the top of His head, from the crown of thorns to his face where they beat Him and they plucked out His beard. And to His back where they smote Him so many times that it was like a farmer's field. It was like plow rows. You could see the stripes in His flesh. And in his sinews and muscles. And so He was beaten so much, and then they pierced His hands and His feet with those huge nails. And so, verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." It's a showing, it's a remembrance of Jesus, what He has done. Verse 27, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup.
For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world.
Right.
So the Lord tells us, he gives us a prohibition upon partaking. He says, number one, this is for remembrance, to remember what I've done for you. And number two, so when you come to my supper table, come clean. Come with your sins confessed and being right with the Lord so you can partake of the communion cup and the communion bread. Because if we don't judge ourselves, then we'll have to be judged by the Lord. So it's better for us to judge ourselves and say, you know what, if I'm not ready to confess this sin and forsake this sin yet, so you know what, I'm not going to eat and drink today because I don't want to eat and drink, partake of the Lord, His remembrance table with sin in my life that I'm not willing to confess. You know, better for me not to partake. You know, better for us to forego and to work on those sins to get to the point where we don't want them in our life anymore, and then the next time to be able to partake of the communion table. So let us have a time of silent prayer as we pray to the Lord and ask Him if we are right with Him this morning, if we can partake of His table. This time I'll ask our deacons to come as we thank the Lord for His broken body for us on the cross. Brother John, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You today as we read in the Scripture. We come before You not with hunger in our and thirst in our bodies, Lord, as we partake of these elements, but knowing that these are merely a remembrance of what Your Son, Jesus Christ, did on that cross of Calvary.
Amen.
How He shed His blood and His body was broken, taking upon Himself the punishment that we deserve for our sins, Lord. Lord, we thank You. We ask Your blessing upon these elements at this time, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged Him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on His head, and they put on Him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote Him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring Him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in Him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man! But when the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. I'd like to ask our deacons to come once again as we thank the Lord for his shed blood for us on the cross. Wellington, would you please?
Dear God, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. As he hung there, Lord, bear no sins and have them nailed to his cross. Lord, we thank you for his shed blood. And through that blood, today we have forgiveness of sins. And even as we partake of his juice that reminds us of his shed blood, help us, Lord, to always be willing to confess and to forsake sin, so that you may be glorified in our lives each day. In Jesus' name, amen.
From thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold, your king! But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus crucified was nigh unto the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Let us all stand for prayer. As we close the service, we'll close as they close the Last Supper. They prayed, then sung a hymn, then went out. Let us close in prayer and we'll sing the first verse of Blessed Be the Tie That Binds Our Hearts in Christian Love. I'm going to ask Brother Matthias, would you close us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and the opportunity to come into your house and worship you. For the message Pastor Rice gave us. Thank you for dying on the cross and rising again for our sins. You don't deserve it. Thank you so much for that. Please help us as we go out through the day to do all for your honor and glory. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship
Brother Matthias, if you can go by the door so we can welcome you as our newest member.